Good morning, New City. My name is Kevin Ha. If you don't know, I'm the lead pastor. We are in a series on the vision of New City entitled Vision, the Way of Jesus. I want to start out by looking at the vision statement of New City. This is our vision statement, mission statement, and core value statement all in one. And each word of the statement is our core value. Here's the vision statement. The vision of New City is to be an inclusive gospel-centered community of lovers of Jesus Christ who connect people to God, grow together, serve the city, and extend God's kingdom. So today I want to talk about the part, grow together. In fact, I want to just focus on one word, grow. How do we grow as a Christian? You know, some people call this discipleship. Some people call this spiritual formation. In other words, how do we experience life change in Christ? We're going to cover a lot of stuff and we're going to look at a lot of different Bible passages today, so I need for you to hang in there today. Hang tight and stay with me, okay? I'm going to ask you if you're still with me. So let's start from the end. Most of us want a fulfilling life, right? So, you know, Galatians chapter 5, 22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. If you live by the Spirit, you will bear the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Now, isn't that what we all want in life? Love. We all want love, agape, this unconditional love. Joy, a sense of gladness regardless of the circumstances. Peace, it's not just inner peace. It's a shalom, complete harmony in every level. Patience, getting past your anger and or temper issues. Kindness, it comes from your heart. Goodness is agape love in your heart towards others. Faithfulness, consistently there. Gentleness, it's how you treat other people. And self-control, getting past your addictions and bad habits. Let me just ask you something. Does your life look like this right now? Do you want your life to look like this? Here's the problem though, right? It's not that we don't want this in our lives. Of course we do. We just don't know how to get it. We all want to love people. We all want to be loved. But we can't seem to make that happen on our own. We all want peace, but we live in turmoil and brokenness. And there's no harmony within us and within the world. We feel broken. We feel the world is broken. We feel anxiety. Our lives feel like an emotional roller coaster. It goes up and down. And so many things have to be just right in order for us to experience any bit of peace. And we want to live in self-control, but we often do things we don't want to do and don't do the things we really want to do. We try hard to produce love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, but it's hard to produce them. The book of Galatians tells us that these qualities are the fruit of the Spirit. It's not something you produce on your own by trying really hard. You can't produce a fruit by willing yourself to produce it. If you want an apple, you can't just will yourself to produce the apple. You have to plant an apple tree. It is the result, product, fruit of something else. And that something else is called living by the Spirit. So let's read Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 25. So I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you're not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So if you live by the Spirit, you will produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And if you live by the sinful nature, the Bible says flesh, you will produce all kinds of sins that are opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, if living by the Spirit produces all these good things, the question is, what is living by the Spirit? How do you live by the Spirit? That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about two things. One, the gospel is the foundation of living by the Spirit. And secondly, spiritual practices are the process of living by the Spirit. So we got a lot to cover. First, the gospel is the foundation of living by the Spirit. The whole theme of the book of Galatians is the gospel, or the good news that we once lived under the law and now we live by the Spirit. There is a movement from the law to the Spirit. To understand what living by the Spirit means, we have to understand it in contrast to living by the law. It's all over the book of Galatians. It's all over the Bible. But we don't have time to go through all of it, but let me just give you a few verses. Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to just learn one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish after beginning by the means of the Spirit? Are you now trying to finish by the means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain, if it really was in vain? So again, I ask, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by your believing what you heard? Now, He's talking to Christians who are going back to the law and telling them that we can't go back to the law after we become a Christian. We have to leave the law and live by the Spirit. That's why he says in Galatians chapter 5, 18, we read this earlier, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. There is a movement from living by the law to living by the Spirit. Let me give you another passage. This is from Romans 7 and 8. The primary theme of these couple of chapters is that there's been a movement from the law to the Spirit. So let's look at Romans chapter 7, verses 4 to 6. So my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to Him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, We've been released from the law so that we serve in a new way of the Spirit. Did you hear that? We've been released from the law so that we serve in a new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. To explain this reality that we don't live by the law anymore, but by the Spirit, Paul starts to illustrate what living by the law is. You know, living by the law means we focus on fixing ourselves, we focus on doing better, we focus on performance, we focus on trying to do the right thing, we focus on trying to stop doing drugs, we focus on stop hurting ourselves and others in addictions. We know what the right thing to do is, but the problem is we can't do it. And here's how Apostle Paul puts it. And notice that he puts this in the present tense. In Romans chapter 7, verse 15 to 24, he says, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me, for I know the good itself does not dwell in me. That is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but the evil that I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. In the recovery, in the Spirit ministry, called this the doobie doobie doo passage, because there's so many do's and be's and do's. But I think you get it. Let's continue. For I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Now, have you experienced this in your life? Feeling so wretched? You know, the answer he gives to resolve this problem of the law, this vicious cycle of the law, wanting to do the right thing but can't do it, is Jesus Christ. He says, praise God, in Jesus Christ, we have the answer. And that's in the passage immediately after. So I used to look at that passage and go, okay, Jesus is the answer. I kind of knew that because you're the Bible. But I still don't get it. How is he the answer to this vicious problem of out of controlness, of powerlessness in my life? How is he an answer to this particular problem? I was very frustrated that he lays out a very real problem that we could all identify with, and ends up giving us what felt like a pat answer. And then I remember that Paul never included chapter numbers. You know, we did. I started to read chapter 8, continuation, more carefully. And I realized he does explain the answer in a powerful way. So chapter 8 of Romans, verses 1 to 4, Paul elaborates. He says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives us life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in a likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So do you see that the Spirit has set me free from the law? Living by the law just led us to a vicious cycle of sin. But when the law couldn't fix us, God fixed us by sending his own Son to be a sin offering. He paid for the sins in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us. So life of the Spirit is a life that relies on God's atoning sacrifice for our righteousness through faith and not by works. It's a life of freedom. It is a life where we can actually enter into God's presence regardless of what we have done. Paul goes on to explain this further in Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 17. Are you guys with me? Okay? I know a lot of Bible passages are popping up, but stay with me. This is the most beautiful passage, one of the most beautiful passages in the Bible. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. Remember, sons had all the rights. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testified with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His suffering, in order that we may also share in His glory. So living by the Spirit means living as sons and daughters, beloved children of God, as opposed to living as a slave to the law and ending up in a perpetual cycle of sin. Now, I want to try to summarize this by giving you a chart. Look at the chart really, really carefully. On the left column is living by the law, and the right column is living by the Spirit. So Romans and Galatians referred, the left column is living by the law. In the right column, it talks about living by the Spirit. In Romans, it also calls living by the law slavery. As opposed to sonship, death as opposed to life, bondage as opposed to freedom, darkness as opposed to light, the old covenant in the book of Hebrews, that's what it's called, and in living by the Spirit is referred to as the new covenant, or work, living by works, or living by grace. So living by the law is performance-based. Our identity, our worth, and our self-value comes from how we perform. Living by the Spirit is grace-based. We are adopted, loved, and valued because of Jesus. Living by the law is contractual. You have a tendency to bargain with God. I obey in order to get things from God. And living by the Spirit, you're grateful and thankful. It makes us humble and confident at the same time, because we know that we did nothing to deserve His love and grace to us. But because of His love and grace for us, we are confident. So we're humble and confident at the same time. Living by the law, we are constantly trying to get God to do something. And living by the Spirit, we're soaking in what God has already done. And living by the law, earning our approval is sort of the main thrust of living by the law. Living by the Spirit is soaking in our approval. To live by the Spirit is to live in the second column and leave the first column. The first column is not Christianity. Remember what Paul said in Galatians, who has bewitched you? We live by the Spirit, not by the law. So are you guys with me? I know I'm somewhat repetitive, but I just wanted to get this foundation just solid, because without this foundation, there is no producing the fruit of the Spirit. Because you don't even know what living by the Spirit means. There's no fruit of the Spirit. But it's not just enough to know this. We have to live it out. And this living out is the way of Jesus. So how do we live this out? That leads us to the second point. The spiritual practices. Spiritual practices, sometimes called spiritual disciplines, are the process of living by the Spirit. One of my favorite books is called Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster. This is a seminal book that I recommend to all of you to read. And in the book, he says this. When we despair of gaining inner transformation through human powers of will and determination, we are open to a wonderful new realization. Inner righteousness is a gift from God to be graciously received. Remember, we just talked about this? The needed change within us is God's work, not ours. The demand is an inside job, and only God can work from the inside. We cannot attain or earn this righteousness of the kingdom of God. It is a grace that is given. Now, when we grasp this truth, we're tempted to think that there's nothing we can do. We think, if God does all the work, and my willpower, my determination does not work, then I just have to wait upon the Lord and do nothing. You know, but there is something we can do. Spiritual practices. Now, what are spiritual practices? They are practices that help us center our lives on God and put us in a place where God can take a hold of us. These practices lead us to a place of intimacy and transformation. So I think spiritual practices are things we do to stay close to God, not things that we do to be a better person, but to just stay close to God. If we stay close to God, we will be a better person. We will bear the fruit of the Spirit. So the focus of spiritual practices is on the relationship and not on the transformation, because transformation comes from the relationship. It's not to say that we don't actually do, but it actually comes from inside out. Galatians chapter 6 verse 8 says, he who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Richard Foster in that same book says, he continues on and says, Paul's analogy is instructive. Paul, you know, he actually refers to this particular verse that I just read. The farmer is helpless to grow grain. Farmer can't actually grow grain. All he can do is to provide the right condition for the growing of the grain. He cultivates the ground, he plants the seed, he waters the plant, and then natural forces of earth take over and up comes the grain. This is the way with spiritual disciplines. They are a way of sowing to the Spirit. The disciplines are God's way of getting us into the ground. They put us where He can work within us and transform us. By themselves, spiritual disciplines can do nothing. They can only get us to a place where something can be done. They are God's means of grace. I love that. Quote, spiritual disciplines are the process for our growth. Process for our spiritual formation. This is how we place ourselves in God's hands so He could change us. You know, I think Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 to 19 is very instructive about what spiritual disciplines are. This is Paul praying. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. The focus is on our inner being, in our heart, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, this is the foundation of the gospel. You know, we're rooted and established in love and not in our own righteousness. May have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. It's all about grasping His love, knowing His love, being filled with the fullness of God's love. Why is there such a focus on this inner life and soaking in God's love? It is because your outer life, how you live, flows out of your inner life. If you have a problem in your inner being, if you don't build your life on God's grace, you don't live in God's love. And that's going to come out. Transformation has to be inside out. Being comes before doing. And spiritual disciplines are things that we do that focus on our hearts. It is a process of healing from all of the hurts and pain and broken things. It is a process of deeply cleansing our hearts. It is a process of transforming our minds to the things of God. It is a process of reprogramming our brain to the grace-based outlook instead of a performance-based outlook. It is a process of learning to see as God sees. It is a process of learning to feel as God feels. It is a process of being loved so much that we would actually flow out in love towards others. You see, if you start a relationship with God but never engage in spiritual disciplines, it's like building a foundation but never building the house. It's like getting a ticket to the best concert ever but never going to enjoying it. It's like getting married but never living with each other. It's like getting going to the fanciest restaurant in LA and never eating the delicacies of the chef. I can go on and on and on that example, but you get the point, right? There are many spiritual practices that help us. Repentance, Lectio Divina, examine are some of the things that I've been focusing on in my life. Fellowship, fasting, intercession, Bible study, simplicity, solitude, worship, celebration. The list could go on and on. But today, just want to end by giving you one spiritual practice that I have found to be one of the most important, yet I think it's the most ignored spiritual practice. It is the spiritual practice of repentance and confession. And I think 12-step does a really good job dealing with this. They call this step 4, doing a moral inventory. There is the repentance that happened when we first become a Christian, and there is a deeper repentance that we're called to afterwards. And it's interesting that most Christians never spend much time examining their hearts very deeply. We say things like, I'm sorry for everything, God. I'm sorry for all my sins. But we never actually take time to dig into our hearts to see the stuff that's in our hearts. We're called to a deeper examination. We're called to examine our hearts. Matthew chapter 23, verse 26, Jesus chastised the Pharisees who were concerned about external things. And Jesus said, first clean the inside of the cup, and then the outside also will be clean. You know, our recovery in the spirit led by Manny, this is at the heart of what they do. Cleaning the inside of the cup. Inside of the cup is our heart. Before you can change your behavior, you have to change your heart first. You have to go through a heart cleansing process, cup cleansing process. And I think this is one of the most important process of living by the Spirit, this cleaning of the inside of the cup. People who are going through 12 steps really take this seriously. You know, as I said, step 4 is at the heart of the 12 steps. And this is what makes 12-step work. It's the secret sauce of the 12 steps. They got it from Jesus. But we all need to go through this process as well. Not just people who are going through 12 steps in addiction recovery. You know, I've been thinking a lot about why so many Christians do not change their sinful habits. Why many of them just relapse. You know, a lot of people just become hypocrites. They just learn to hide them better. Now they just believe in doing the right thing and they just learn to hide them better. They relapse like everybody else. They have all the same problems. They continue to hate. They continue to be racist. They never examine the narratives that control their perception of people. This is my conviction about spiritual formation, about living by the Spirit. Unless we go through a process of deep repentance, our transformation will not be permanent. We will continue to white knuckle through life. And when people talk about living by the Spirit, you won't know the difference between living by the law and living by the Spirit. Feels the same to you. You know, I recently started Ignatius Spiritual Exercises. It's pretty intense stuff. It takes about an hour a day, and the whole process will probably take a year or more. It has a portion in which it takes me through a process of deep repentance, really digging into my sin, the sin beneath the sin, my pain, and processing them, confessing them, and finding freedom from them. I have a spiritual director who helps me, sort of like a sponsor in 12-step language. If you want to go through this kind of deep repentance, come to Recovery in the Spirit. They meet every Friday at 5:30 p.m. It's not just for addicts. It's for everyone who wants to go through a process of learning how to live by the Spirit. Or find out more about Ignatius Spiritual Exercises. You know, it's the vision of New City to bring the Ignatius Spiritual Exercise to you. We want our DNA to be that of deep repentance and living by the Spirit. This is what we believe about how people change. This is what we believe about discipleship and how we are formed in Christ, living by the Spirit. It has to have this gospel foundation. That's why we're gospel-centered. But it also has to be led by spiritual practices, especially that of deep repentance. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Lord, we thank you for your love and grace that has led us out of a performance-based mentality, a judgment-based mentality, a hierarchical mentality of living by the law. And you have shown us what living by love, living by your Spirit, living by your grace looks like. Lord, I pray that this truth will penetrate into each and every member of this church, O Lord. And this truth of the gospel freedom of living by the Spirit, O Lord, will spread to our friends and family members through love and grace. Oh Lord, we are so sorry that oftentimes we start with your grace and forgiveness but end up making our spiritual formation as nothing different than living by the law. Lord, forgive us for that. Help us to pursue an inner change oneness, this relationship with you in the Spirit. And help us to be guided by you. And holding on to this amazing love that you have, O Lord, for us unconditionally. I pray that it will give us the boldness to actually dive deep into our hearts, into our brokenness, into our pain, into our trauma, into our sins, into our idolatry, into our sins and into the effects of sins others have done to us, to our brokenness. And I pray that, Lord, we would dig deep and allow your Spirit to lead us through a process of healing and process of renewal and process of cleansing. Lord, guide us by your Spirit, O Lord. Help us to live in you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.